Good morning, Shelbyville Church. And we welcome everyone who has tuned in today to our radio station and to the internet. We welcome you and we wish you a happy Sabbath today. Pray that God's blessing will be upon you as you listen to this message today. And as I begin here, we're going to be looking at Psalm 109, verse 7. And will you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, we need your Holy Spirit to guide us and give us wisdom and understanding. And today, Father, we're praying that you would help us to understand this issue of prayer and how important it is in our spiritual life with you. Guide us with your Spirit and bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 109, verse 7, it says, "When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin." And what it's talking about here is that the he of this text is making reference to Judas. Did you know that? I want you to go with me, if you will, back to the New Testament in Acts chapter 1. We're going to begin reading there in verse number 16. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 16. It's amazing how many things in the Old Testament refer to the New, and then in the New, how many of them actually refer back to the Old Testament. And so we need both of them to be able to get the full message that God has for us. In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, it says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of his ministry, of this ministry. And now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in the proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, for his bishopric let another take." And we see here that this is specifically talking about Judas, and it's a prediction about his responsibility or his actions in turning Jesus over to the mob that got Jesus and took him to his death. And Psalms 109 at verse number 8, Psalm 109 verse 8, the next verse says, "Let his days be few, and let another take his office." And that's what Acts 1 is telling us. It's specifically speaking about Judas. And his crime in life was really using this symbol of love, this act of kissing Jesus to identify him there in the garden, this act, this crime against the life of the Son of God was what Jesus was using something that was good, that was recognized as a part of our affection for other people, and he was turning it into something bad. The implication is, I think, that sometimes many of our prayers, they're not always maybe dressed up the way they should be. Maybe they're not as acceptable to God as they should be. There is, I think, a warning for everybody to not be tempted to use this privilege of prayer for a sinful motive. And we need to make sure that when we're praying to God that our motives are right in our heart, that we're praying to God from the heart and is not something that we're wanting to disguise inside of us. We're wanting God to just listen to us. We're wanting to pour out our heart honestly and openly to God, and so that he can actually come to us and help us through whatever situations we have. When prayer becomes sin, it's when it is insincere. You know, hypocrisy is an abomination unto the Lord. And the congregation of hypocrites, it says in Proverbs 15:34, shall be desolate. You think about this in Matthew chapter, and here in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 6, we see the story of the Pharisees, and Jesus is speaking about this in Matthew chapter 6, and it begins in verse number 5. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward." So they got what it's speaking about there is all the attention that they attracted to themselves. That's their reward for the day, because they're praying and it's not sincere. They're doing it so that they can get attention from everybody around them. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Isn't that great? God already knows what's on our heart. And so we can be open and honest. We don't have to try to disguise things with God. We can be as open and honest with him as we possibly can, because God knows it all. He sees our heart. He knows exactly what we need, and he is able to fulfill those needs before we even begin to ask. God knows how to take care of that. And when a prayer is based upon something other than this open honesty and selfishness or hypocrisy, as in the case of Balaam, who sought to bend God in his own selfish way, I've heard people pray those kind of prayers, and maybe in the past I've been that guilty of those kind of things too, when I didn't understand exactly how God related to me and how I was to relate to God. There was probably times when I had the selfish, self-centered prayers where I wanted God to pour out everything upon me. You know, I kind of treated him like this little genie in a jar, and I just rubbed it, and out popped Jesus, and he just gave me everything. But that's not the way Jesus works with us. Balaam was trying to twist God and to make God do something that God was not willing to do. And you look here in James chapter 4 at verse number 3 with me, if you will. In James chapter 4 and verse number 3. In James 4, verse 3, it says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." And so what James is trying to tell us here is that sometimes the type of prayer that we have in mind is sometimes a little too self-centered. And we need to be able to speak to God openly and honestly about what's in our heart, and honestly appeal to God for needs, for our needs in life. But sometimes when our focus is just me-centered, I-centered, it's all about me and not about God and what he has done for us. And how, you know, I really appreciate what Linda did today in our opening service today. She talked about all of the thanksgiving we should have for everything that God has given us. And I think that's what prayer has to be centered around, is how great God is and all of the great things that he's done for us and everything that he has given us. Everything that we have, it comes directly from God. It comes because of his blessing to each one of us. And even the breath that we breathe, this is God doing that for us. You know, we don't have a little battery in here, at least I don't, that makes my heart keep pumping. I know some people have some assistance in those areas, but it's God that creates that situation where our heart just keeps pumping and giving us the life that we need. And it, all the blessings that we have in life come from God. And when we set ourselves in opposition to the Word of God, it's hard for us to be able to pray a prayer that would be directly against the will of God and then expect some answer that would be good for us. And I know sometimes that, you know, prayers can be said that are not exactly the way God would want us to pray. But, you know, sometimes when we're so confused about issues, maybe we're so stressed out, we're so overcome with grief and different situations that stress us and cause anxiety, sometimes we don't know how to pray properly. But God's Holy Spirit knows how to take those prayers of sincerity from our heart, and he knows how to dress those up and present them to God so that God will answer them according to his will for each one of us. And we need to trust in God and thank him for everything that he has done for us. And we need to allow God's Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in how we pray to God and how we relate to him. And you know, our prayer should be a revelation of our relationship with God. And it should be us pouring out our heart to God, just like we would speak to a friend. And God should be that close to us, don't you think? I mean, he should be our best friend in life. We should be able to speak to him openly and honestly about our needs, about our desires for life, and what we want God to do for us and how we want God to bless us. I think that God would want us to be able to speak openly to him. And in Isaiah chapter 59:2, it says there that your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Well, it also says in 1 John 1:9 that if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that right? So there's no dilemma here. If we hold on to the sin, unconfessed, unrepentant, then we have a problem in getting through to God. But when we confess our sins, it says that he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin and to create a righteousness inside of us. And I believe that God honestly wants that to happen in our life. He wants us to be open and honest to confess whatever sins we have. And you know, it's easy for us to fall into sin. The devil sees to that, doesn't he? I mean, he knows that we're weak, sinful human beings, and without the power of God's Holy Spirit living in us, we could fall pretty easy into faults. And we make mistakes, and what God wants us to do is to admit those mistakes and come to him and confess those and ask for forgiveness and then turn away from those and not repeat those over and over again. He wants us to repent of those things. And I think a lesson for us to learn is that we should pray like the psalmist did in Psalms 139, verse 3. You can see how the psalmist prayed. If you'll turn with me there, Psalm 139 and verse number 23. I'm sorry, 139, verse number 23. So David is saying this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? I think that's the kind of prayer that God wants, this open, honest reflection of who we are and where we're at with God. To be honest enough to say to him, "God, you know, there may be some things in my life that I need to change. There may be some mistakes that I've made. But God, through your power and your forgiveness, your grace, I can make it all right. I can take care of those issues." And I think that this is what David is saying. He's saying, "God, sometimes these sins that we've had in our life are habits of a life that we have developed. Lifelong issues and traditions and habits that we've formed in life, sometimes those sins don't seem like sin until God points them out." And David is saying, "Search me, God, and show me if there's any wickedness in me, if there's any sin that has been hidden there that I'm not aware of, that I take it for granted." He's saying, "Search me and find those things and know my thoughts." And sometimes those thoughts can really lead us in the wrong direction. Isn't that so? And so David is asking for God to intercede for him and show him if there's any wickedness in him and lead him in the ways of everlasting. And I think that's a good prayer for every one of us, to be able to pray those things and openly ask God to come into our life and search us out. God knows what's in our life before we ever ask. Isn't that true? He knows how to deal with those issues. And the psalmist is praying that God will help him understand how he can make his life better. You know, some of those things in David's life, he understood those things, like his issue with Bathsheba and how he treated Uriah. He understood some of those issues because they were pretty blatant. They were pretty out there for him. He didn't have any confusion about that kind of sin or wickedness in his life. What he had a confusion about, as all human beings do, is that sometimes those little hidden sins that get stuck back in the dark corners and recesses of our life, we don't recognize them, or we cherish those and we don't let go of those. We don't confess them. We don't repent of them. And we have to deal with that. And David is crying out to God, "Come into my heart, Father, and find out what it is that I've been holding on to that I need to let go of." And he's crying out to God to see if there's any sin in his life. And then he wants God to not only forgive him and cleanse him, but to lead him in the ways of righteousness. And that's what God wants for every one of us. Wants us to be able to look at those things, confess them, and ask for God to lead us in his path. We have to keep in mind, though, that we're all like an open book before God. In Psalm 139 and verses 1 through 3, David is saying this, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways." That is what God is with each one of us. He knows who we are. He knows what we're like. He knows whether we love him or we're just playing a game with him. And I believe that when we're really honestly, openly seeking God and his righteousness, that's exactly what we'll find. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you," right? His righteousness, his everlasting ways. This is what God wants us to experience. And if we search this out every day, like David, crying out to God to search our heart and see if there's anything in my life that I need to change, that I need to confess, that I need to repent of, and then asking God to lead us by his Holy Spirit to follow him in all the ways of righteousness. God wants us to follow him. And you know, friends, we get so busy in life that sometimes we don't really think about all of the demands that are on us. We just follow through this routine that we go through day after day, following through those responsibilities we have. We need to just take some time to just kind of calm down a little bit and spend some time with God in prayer and Bible study and let God enrich our life with His presence. I know that all of us are busy. I have a special job that God has given me as a pastor. I don't have to work another job. Praise God for that. I know a lot of pastors have to work a daily job somewhere for someone else, and then they have to pastor a church on top of that. But God has saw fit for the ministers in our Seventh-day Adventist church that we work one job, and that's doing what God has called us to. Isn't that right, Pastor? God has called us to full-time ministry, and so that means that we can spend time in prayer and Bible study and doing the gospel work that God has called us to. And I know that everybody who has to work a job, you have a deadline you have to meet. You have to get up at a certain time, be at work at a certain time, you quit at a certain time, you eat lunch at a certain time. Everything's pretty regimented and structured for you. But there has to be some time where we can just spend time with God and pray the prayers like David prayed. And asking God to search us out, Father, is there something that I'm overlooking or something that I've been holding on to? Is there something that I need to deal with today? If so, Father, search my heart and show me that so that I can confess that and I can ask for your forgiveness and cleansing and I can walk in the ways of righteousness the way you want me to. And I think that's what God is trying to counsel us with here, is that we need to, no matter how busy we are, we still have to spend time with God. Isn't that true? We have to. If we want our spiritual life to flourish and grow, we have to be able to spend time in prayer and Bible study with the Lord. And we have to be able to use those things that God has shown us and the burdens He's put on our hearts to be able to share those things, those revelations and truths with people around us. There's times when people come into the church, they may be here in church, and I'm not just speaking especially for this church, I'm just taking in a general conversation here. People come into church and they don't really do anything for the Lord in witnessing. They don't spend time in prayer and Bible study. And maybe they were all excited about Jesus when they first became a Christian, but over time, because they have not nurtured that experience with the Lord on a daily basis, their experience with God begins to diminish and it begins to grow cold. The love of many will grow cold in the last days before Jesus comes. And a lot of it has to do is because we're so busy. You know, all of these conveniences that were developed after World War II were supposed to give us more free time to be able to relax. But what happened with all of the conveniences that we have, it's made us busier than we've ever been in our life. And we just constantly do. You're going all the time. And you don't have time to think about God and all the blessings that He's given to us. We don't have time to just quietly sit down and meditate and reflect on who God is and what Jesus means to us and how He has sacrificed everything so that you and I could have the freedoms that we have today. We need to spend time every day in prayer and Bible study. Do you agree with that? And I hope that God's Holy Spirit will help you be able to restructure your appointments for the day, your responsibilities, and all the demands that you have on you for work and family and other things, that you'll be able to spend some time with God and just reflect on where you're at with Him and ask God to guide you and direct you every day. And Jesus wants to be close to us, but what's more, He wants us to be close to Him. Isn't that true? You know, oftentimes when we don't feel Jesus or God close to us, we don't have that feeling of God's presence in our life, a lot of it has to do is because we haven't been spending time with God. And God doesn't leave us, we draw away from Him. And that's why sometimes we don't feel His presence, because we haven't been spending time with Him in prayer and Bible study. Our prayer should include words that David said that cleansed me from these secret faults, these things that are in my heart. You know, in Psalms 19, verse 12, we see here, it says here, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Those are those things that we don't recognize. There was things that I did as a Christian that I didn't realize it was a sin until God revealed that to me in His scripture, or I heard somebody preach about it, or somebody told me that in a Bible study. I was pretty ignorant of God's will for my life. I was pretty ignorant of what God's word had to say. And I didn't realize that many of the things that I had developed in my life were an offense to God. And I didn't realize that I was doing sinful things until God showed that to me. And so David is in the same situation as a human just like you and I. And he's crying out to God, cleanse me from these secret faults that are inside of me, things that I don't recognize that I've been doing that are an offense to you. Reveal that to me. Search my heart, O God, and help me to understand those things and where I'm at with you. And in verse 14, it says there, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He wants to be your strength today. And he wants Jesus to be your redeemer today, friend. No matter where you're at with God today, he wants to be close to you and he wants you to be close to him. We need to be able to humble ourselves in confession of our sins as a part of our daily prayer to God. Even the man Daniel, he was greatly loved by God, and he included confession of sin in his prayers too. You look here in Daniel chapter 9, and if you'll turn with me to that scripture, Daniel chapter 9, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, and as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all of Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belong confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Daniel is confessing that not only Israel, but he as well, have been sinning and is asking for God to take away those sins and to cleanse them. And so I think this is the kind of daily prayers that we need to be praying, that every day God would reveal to us those secret faults that are in our life, and that God would give us the strength and the courage to confess those, to repent of those, and to have those cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I hate to think of the thought, you know, that sin would be, I mean, that prayer would be a sin. I mean, who wants to think of prayer being a sin? That would make you think, well, what's the point of praying? Why would I need to do that? If prayer is a sin, what would be the point? But it's a terrible thing, I think, to contemplate that prayer can be sin in the sight of the Lord. But the Pharisees devoted a lot of time to prayer, and yet they had murder in their hearts. Isn't that true? All the while they were praying that God would do something for them, whatever they were praying for, they were praying, but yet they had this hypocrisy in their heart. They were praying to God, but they were praying with different motives. The motivation of their heart was different than what it should have been. And all the while that they were praying to God, they were devising the murder of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You look in Matthew chapter 23. You see this chapter in Matthew 23. Jesus is speaking here to the Pharisees and the scribes, and he constantly calls them fools and blind and blind guides. He calls them hypocrites over and over again because he knew what they were doing. They were praying to God. They were making all of these outward prayers to people on all of the street corners so that people would go by, they would blow their trumpets, and they would be dressed in their best robes. They'd be praying to openly on the street corners so that everybody could see how righteous they were. But in their heart, they had all of these sins. They were planning to murder the Son of God. And they had been hypocrites in what they were doing. It's hard for us to pray that God will bless us. Hard for us to pray that God will forgive us when we have motives in our heart that are prompting us to do something different. I believe that God could help us with everything that we struggle with. He is a God who is able to fulfill everything. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse number 35, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And I believe that Jesus knows how to help us. And all the words that he has given us in his word should be an encouragement and a comfort for every one of us. He knows how to answer prayers. He knows how to give us what we need. But we can't forget that if we cherish hatred in our hearts, we're committing murder and our prayer becomes sin. Okay, now I'm going to get close to you here today. You know, sometimes there are issues in every family where people don't agree. Isn't that true? Church is a family, the family of God. And oftentimes we don't see things exactly alike. But God wants us to be in unity. He wants us to agree with him so that we can be in agreement with each other. And the more we love Jesus, the more we'll love each other. Isn't that true? It is absolutely true. And I believe that God wants us to be able to pray prayers that are open and honest. And if we're holding grudges against somebody else, whether it's in our family or somebody at work or someone at church, whatever the situation, how can we pray openly for God's blessing when we're harboring those things in our hearts, just like the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders of the church of Israel did when they were planning the murder of the Son of God? It is impossible for us to ask God to bless us when we're harboring those things in our heart. And so I want to encourage you, whether you're in this church or whether you're listening on the radio or in the internet today, that you would reflect upon that. That if you're harboring these ill thoughts, these ill feelings about somebody else, it's time for you to confess them. It's time for you to let them go and give them to God and to be able to move on in your life in a walk with Jesus every day. You want your prayers to be answered by God? Then you need to get out those secret faults, those hidden things in your life that you've been holding on to, those grudges that have separated you from other people. You need to get rid of it and ask for forgiveness for them and for you. Listen, friends, if you want real freedom, it's not by holding on to those hurts that you've had over life. It's by confessing those to God and asking for forgiveness for yourself and for the other person. You want happiness and joy? You want to find fulfillment? It only comes by knowing Jesus. You want to be able to be free from all of those things that burden you down? Then you need to come to Jesus and let him have them. You need to give them to him. He's able to handle it if you'll just come to him and confess it. He is able to take care of all of those issues. It's easy for us to think bad things about other people. It's easy for us to take offense at everything. And some people look for offenses so that they can be mad. It's time to confess that. It's time to get over it. It's time to grow up and become a Christian adult and to let those things go so that we can be blessed by God and that our prayers will not be hindered and that we will not be praying like the Pharisees and the scribes did with murder in their hearts. You see, when we think bad things about other people, it's the same thing as murdering them. You probably don't understand that maybe, but I want to read some text to you from Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, at verses 21 and 22. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse number 21. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, it says, "And ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." You look with me here in 1 John, in chapter 3, verse 15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. I hope I got the right text here. 1 John 3, oh, I'm in Peter, no wonder. I'm wondering why the text didn't match up. I'm in Peter instead of John. Okay, 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. I'm getting to it there. Okay. It says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." So we can't hold on to those grudges, friends, those ill feelings that we have. Sometimes those things that happen, I don't know of anybody that hasn't had somebody say or do something that has been an offense or even pretty hurtful. God is saying that we need to get rid of those things. We can't harbor that and go to heaven with those grudges in our heart. It's not possible. We need to be able to confess these to Jesus. We need to ask him to search our heart. Are we holding on to something that is separating me from somebody else? God wants us to be in unity. Isn't that true? How can that happen when we have these feelings that keep us back? We keep pushing away from people when we need to be drawing close together as God's family. And God is saying, confess those things. Get over it. Grow up. Put it away. Let God heal you of those hurts and draw us close together, his family. In these last days, friends, we need to press together because the devil's doing everything he can to create disunity. That we need to press together in these last days as we see this world coming to an end, because the devil is going to sneak into our life and he's going to cause all kinds of division and disunity and problems. We need to press together in these last days because God wants us to be a unified body here on earth so that we can fulfill the will that he has for each one of us. He wants us to press together as the devil tries to hit us, try to destroy us. As long as we're pressed together with Jesus, he cannot harm us. Press together. Press to Jesus. Get close together to one another. Take away all of those ill feelings that have been there. Confess them to God. And come to him every day in prayer and say, God, search my heart. Try me and see if there's any wickedness found in me. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And give me the power of your grace, Father, that I can repent and live my life for you in a walk of righteousness. Prayer becomes sin when we know the will of God and we seek to bypass it. We pray for something else. We know what God is asking us to do and we refuse to do it. We want some other excuse. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody made me do it. The devil caused it. Well, they're right in some respects. But we have to answer for our own account of life, for our own response. We have to be able to confess those sins to God. And God's no respecter of person. If we sin willfully, God will not and cannot hear our prayer. Listen, Pastor, you know this as well as I do, that we're just sinful human beings, just like everybody else. And I know sometimes people look at us like we're God. You know, they treat us and talk to us about that kind of thing. We're not God. We're just human beings, faulty, sinful human beings, just like you. And we need God's grace in our life, just like you do. We need to come to God and confess our sins daily, just like you do. You understand that? We're no different than you. We've just been used in a different area of God's work than what you have. Okay? But we've all been called to come to God and confess our sins to him and to walk in righteousness with Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? And this is what God is calling us to as God's family, to press together in these last days. As long as we're close to Jesus, the devil can't hurt us. It's when we start looking away, start straying away, start doing things outside of the will of God that the devil comes in and attacks us and he tries to destroy every one of us. He'll destroy the unity that God wants us to have in our family, the unity he wants us to have in our church. We need to have that unity with Jesus. He prayed for this, that unity that he had with his Father was the unity that you and I would have that would last us down to the end of time. The devil wants to destroy that. And God is no respecter of person, friends. If we're sinning, hey, it doesn't matter what position you hold in the church. We need to confess it. We need to repent of it. We need to ask for God to forgive us and to cleanse us from that. Because he doesn't care who we are. We're all in need of Jesus and his forgiveness and cleansing. Isn't that true? It doesn't matter who we are. We all stand in need at the foot of the cross. We need to be searching our hearts, asking for God to cleanse us. When we come before the Lord, we need to be honest and open with God. I think that God needs to be close to every one of us in these last days. And he's longing for us to be close to him. Because this experience that you and I have on earth is a preparation for what we're going to experience in heaven. And he wants us to be close to him today. Jesus wants to be in your heart, in your life, helping you through the walk that you have with him. And if we're not close to him now, how will we be close to him when heaven comes? God is preparing us for heaven today. He wants us to be close to him. And I hope that you will start praying in a way that David prayed. Create a clean heart in me, O God. Search me and find out if there's any secret faults hidden inside of me somewhere that I'm not aware of, that is separating me from you and from other people. And help me, by your grace, to confess them and to overcome them. May that be the prayer for each one of us today. Heavenly Father, I pray that today your Holy Spirit would guide each one who has listened to this message, and that, Father, we will be openly honest with you. And if we need to go and confess our sin to someone else, if we need to repent of something, I pray, Father, that you would give us the courage, the boldness, the strength that we need from your grace to be able to accomplish that. Guide us with your Spirit, Father. Help us to be open and honest with you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.